Hey, what's up, what's up? This is Mike C, aka J75, with Level Playing Field, back for the first episode of 2021. Yes, I know it's March, and, it's the first episode of the year, but things have been a little bit challenging so far, between some personal stuff and mostly work stuff. But now it seems like things are finally starting to settle down, so I'm finally getting a chance to catch my breath and to get back to things that I love doing alongside the obligations that I have and have been dealing with. But so I know it's March, starting the third month of the year, and you haven't heard from me. You know, that could be a good thing or a bad thing depending on how you look at it. But anyways, we're back, so let's get to it. So we had three nominees for our Game of the Year for 2020. Congrats once again to Ghost of Tsushima and to Sucker Punch for delivering the goods in spades. But what I want to do this time is I want to talk about one of the nominees that I haven't given a review on. And that game, which is actually already a contender for Game of the Year 2021, is Cyberpunk 2077. So go ahead and take a seat, because it's history class time. I've been officially into the whole cyberpunk genre since the role-playing game days in high school. Yes, that's right. I was one of those kids with the source books, the expansions, the character sheets, the dice. My backpack wasn't, filled with school books and stuff that I was supposed to be learning. It was filled with, like, boxes that contained all this stuff. And I spent hours upon hours on mostly Saturdays, sometimes during the week, doing role-playing games and nothing else. So this was back in like 89, 90 when I first started. And the source book that we played from back then was Cyberpunk 2020 with the subtitle. You know, if you go look at Cyberpunk 2020, you look at the box or any of the source material, it says, Cyberpunk 2020, the role-playing game of the dark future. So, if you kind of think about it, the year 2020 was a little bit dark. Well, maybe more than a little bit, with everything that happened. So, that's kind of creepy that, way back then, we finally get to 2020. And, it's like, hey, it's the role-playing game of the dark future. Well, we kind of live that. So, now granted, it wasn't like, the setting, but it's still pretty dark. So Cyberpunk 2077 has been in development for a long time. And from CD Projekt Red, who from Witcher 3. So, Cyberpunk kept getting pushed back, and pushed back, and pushed back, then pushed back again, then was going to come out, and it got pushed back some more, and finally got released the end of last year. So, as a longtime fan of Cyberpunk, when I first heard about this game, my initial thought was, okay, this is going to be interesting. Somebody's making something Cyberpunk that actually has the balls to call itself Cyberpunk. You can imagine as a fan going in that I was cautious. I was optimistic, but I was, cautiously optimistic. Still pretty guarded. I was like, hey, someone's actually taking this on. It's going to be good. Maybe. I was still kind of guarded. I will put that out there. Because, after all, when you put the name Cyberpunk on something, there's a certain level of expectation, whether that expectation is valid or not. And, for a fan, that level of expectation can be pretty high up there. There are also things that you expect to see in the game to make it kind of, quote-unquote, earn that name in your head. So, the last thing you want, right, as a fan of the game, is for someone to say, dude, this is a cyberpunk thing that you used to talk about? Really? This is it? Really? CD Projekt Red had a humongous task And they really had a lot to deliver if they were going to actually use the name Cyberpunk, especially if they were going to actually name the game Cyberpunk. So I'm here to tell you, after all the speculation, all the years of being pushed back, all the doubt, lowered expectation, Cyberpunk is finally here, and not only does it deliver, but it basically destroys any doubt on whether it deserves the name. So, a couple things before we get into why we already have a very strong contender for 2021 Game of the Year. First off, let's kind of come to some kind of common ground here. What I'm talking about is there's been a lot of controversy surrounding the game itself, with all the delays, as well as CD Projekt Red themselves, especially surrounding this game. So let me start by addressing this, okay? Yes, the release of this game should have been handled better. It should have had another delay. I know people probably wouldn't like that because basically all people did was, when's Cyberpunk coming out? When's Cyberpunk coming out? All the bitching and the moaning about it, and then, basically it doesn't exist. They're just making promises they can't keep and everything else. You go from people wanting the game to people basically bitching that it's not coming out. It should have had another delay. And especially with the issues with the current gen consoles like PlayStation 4 and, Xbox One. It should have been delayed probably a little bit longer. Hurts me to say that, but it probably should have. But, we all know how we are, right? We bitch about the game, bitch about something coming out, we bitch about things that we want, and, we're the right now culture, right? So we want it now, and we want it perfect. So, definitely the whole CD Projekt Red thing, no, they definitely should not have thrown their QA team under the bus. That's pretty dirty. I mean, it's one thing, if you have your internal politics or whatever like that, and you are placing blame, but for some reason, everything about this game and surrounding it has been very public, and for CD Projekt Red to come out and say, well, it doesn't work on last gen consoles or current gen consoles, because the QA team didn't do their job. I mean, that, ouch. Wow, that, yeah, that's pretty dirty. And you know what? I can go on and on about everything that went wrong with the release of the game. What CD Projekt Red, had some missteps, everything they did wrong when it comes to the game. Do I support things like that? Hell no. I absolutely do not. But, I'm saying all this to lead up to this because I'm about to play devil's advocate here. And, some people may not like it, but this is, let me just ask a question here. Okay, and honestly, did anything that happened at CD Projekt Red never happen at any other gaming company or studio? I mean, have companies like Microsoft, Sony, Activision, EA, you name a developer, right? Have they never pushed their teams to work extra hours to meet a release date? Have they never released a game or product that wasn't ready, had some kind of bug? Hopefully not game-breaking bugs, but let's just say they did. Let's say they had a game-breaking bug. Or have any of these companies, or more, any of your favorite developers, have none of them ever mismanaged a release? I think that we all know the answer to those questions. So why CD Projekt Red? Why are they the devil all of a sudden? So, I'm definitely not saying to ignore those things. Not at all. In fact, I hope that, with CD Projekt Red being in the spotlight and, a spotlight being put on something like this, that companies take a little bit more care when it comes to delivering their games. But come on. I'm not saying it's right, but have they done anything, that other game companies haven't done and potentially done worse? So, at the same time, when it comes to Cyberpunk and CD Projekt Red, when we talk about this, you've answered that question. Maybe you didn't like the answer, and that's fine. But, what I want you to think about at the same time, when it comes to Cyberpunk and CD Projekt Red and everything that's happened negative, that I want you to think about not the upper management, not the marketing team, not, whoever that mismanaged the game, the people, anything that you didn't like about the situation. I don't want you to think about those people that caused that situation. What I want you to think about is the people in the trenches that actually spent years actually making this game. I'm talking about the developers who spent countless hours building a phenomenal world for you to explore, characters to interact with, both with a great main story, side missions to keep you coming back for more, and all the other details, all the stuff that went into this game. I want you to think about the people that actually made the game, not the people that mismanaged it. I want you to think about, the people that worked directly with the creator of Cyberpunk, Mike Pondsmith. The people that spent the time to bring his vision to one of your favorite forms of media. So, I mean, amid all the controversy, these are the people that you play Cyberpunk for. Because as a longtime fan, I can tell you that it is absolutely amazing what they have brought to life. So, I mean, I get it. I get how people feel about the negative press. I get that it's cool to hate on Cyberpunk and CD Projekt Red. But I mean, really, let's just take a step back here. And I mean, who are you? Who are you? Where's the blame go? Where's the blame really go? And, the game deserves a fair chance. The game deserves a chance to be played and enjoyed, or not, on its merits, on its own merits, not because of any political stuff going on within a company that somehow became public. And again, I'm not advocating anything they've done, saying any of it was right or anything like that. I'm just simply stating that they haven't done anything worse than any other developer that makes games that you enjoy, that probably your favorite game, developer of your favorite game has done. So, I think it's best that we move on from this whole controversy thing and let's just get to the game. So, all right, so I'm going to come down off my soapbox on that. We've addressed the whole controversy thing and CD Projekt Red, whatever. Let's talk about the game. So, as we normally do here on Level Playing Field, let's talk about the things that aren't so great. Okay, so first off, regarding Cyberpunk 2077, and this is probably going to be a little off-putting for those that probably don't know. The first 5 to 6 hours of the game are kind of a slow burn. There are things that happen, so don't think that I'm saying that the game's boring in the first 5, 6 hours. It's not. It's probably going to be just a little bit slower paced than what you're expecting. There are things that happen, like I said, but the story itself advances slower than you might expect. From an action standpoint, the game doesn't really pick up steam until near the end of the hotel heist, which is toward the back half of that 5 to 6 hours. A lot of it is tutorials, the whole world building, learning how to get around, learning the controls, the typical stuff in the game. Cyberpunk is a big game and there's a lot in it. So there are basics that you're going to have to get used to, and it's in those 5 to 6 hours. Everything that you're shown, though, is going to be useful for you as you progress in the game. You won't even see the title screen of the game until after the hotel heist is over. So, I mean, just be prepared for that. Yes, it's an action role-playing game, and the role-playing elements outweigh the action sequences dramatically up until that point. Okay. Another thing is that the game can feel overwhelming at times. Remember what I said about the slow burn start? You probably have more freedom than you should during that time, and it can get very easy to get off track and lose focus. There are side missions within this 5 to 6 hours. All right, but should you tackle them? I didn't, unless I had to, and if you want my opinion, the answer is no. Stick to the main story, until you see the opening credits. You do have the freedom to walk around, go places, and everything like that, but if you stray too much, especially during the start, it's too easy to get bogged down early on if you're an explorer by nature. So just keep that in mind. I'm sure you've heard, everybody's heard, of course, about, all the bugs and glitches, etc., throughout the release of the game. I played on the Xbox Series X, and I think I've only had two, maybe three issues, both of which were solvable, which was basically leaving an area and coming back, and they weren't game breaking. Now, I didn't play the game on current gen systems, even though I have it for both Xbox and PlayStation. So, look, folks, I'm sure. And they've already committed to, I have no reason to think otherwise, that the game is going to get the fixes that it needs for all platforms, as well as the promised enhancements for next gen that are going to make any major issues like a distant memory. Now, I wasn't in on Witcher 3 from the beginning, but I hear Witcher 3 also had a horrible, release and was buggy and everything else, so. So just, keep that in mind. So one thing that's neither a positive or a negative about Cyberpunk is this. When it comes to how you should play this game, you have to be honest with yourself. Right? Are you a person that enjoys main story content with just a little bit of side content? Are you more of an explorer and prefer stumbling onto things? Are you more of a completionist, meaning that you can't leave any stone unturned? So, with Cyberpunk 2077, the fact of the matter is this. With Cyberpunk being the open world game that it is, you have to come to terms with what you want from it. As for me, I'm more of a main story content kind of guy. But the thing about Cyberpunk is that even though I'm a main content kind of guy, there are side missions and gigs which are more than interesting, so I don't have to play the main story content straight through. In fact, I didn't. If something cool comes along, I get a call or pick up a mission or something like that, and it seems like it's going to be cool, then yeah, definitely I'm going to stray. I'm definitely going to check it out, so. You might be different than me, and that's perfectly fine. But as I said, just be honest with yourself. Because if you are more of an explorer and you just stick to the main story, you're probably not going to get everything that you want out of the game. So, just throwing that out there. And one more time, just no matter how you play, I will advise you that during the first 5 to 6 hours, during that initial, slow burn section of the game, that you do actually stick to the main story, because otherwise, again, you can get so bogged down early in the game that it can become a grind. And trust me, You don't want to do that. You don't want to turn this into a grind because you're going to miss out on stuff. You're going to miss out on some really cool stuff. Because there is a really, really a lot to enjoy about this game. So, here we are. On to the good stuff. And I do mean the good stuff. So, here's your fair warning, disclaimer, etc. I'm going to most likely geek the hell out over this game. When I was first putting this together, I was like, okay, try to rein it in. People aren't going to want to hear you go nuts over this game. Talking to a couple of people, hey, I'm doing the Cyberpunk episode. I'm going to try to contain myself, going to try to rein it in and keep it kind of, and they were like, "Oh, hold on. What? You're saying you're not going to geek out over something that you enjoy and that you consider awesome? Why the hell shouldn't you geek out about it?" And you know what? They were right. The fact of the matter is that with everything that's been going on, both inside and outside of the gaming world, we need to take every opportunity to celebrate and gush and whatever about anything and everything that we think deserves it, whether the rest of the internet or whoever thinks that you should or not. All right? If there's a game that you enjoy that maybe the rest of the world hates, so what? Geek out about it. So, I mean, there's too much just crap going on to where if you find something that brings you joy and excitement and everything, you know what? Definitely geek out about it, go crazy about it, whatever. So, here we go with Cyberpunk 2077. Amid everything that the game has gotten flack for and hasn't been at its best, on the flip side of the coin, this game has done a phenomenal job of doing so much more right. Being a longtime fan of the game, I don't know how else I can communicate that to you. I mean, yes, there are some things wrong, but there is so much right with this game. Let's just talk in a general sense about the content. Especially if you're a fan of the source material, a very large portion, if not almost everything, is in this game. The mega corporations that control everything, like Arisaka, the Rocker Boys, Johnny Silverhand, Kerry Uradine, and the rest of Samurai, Ripperdox, the gangs, Trauma Team, the weapons. Oh my God, the weapons. I'm talking about the smart guns, the tech guns, the mantis blades, the monowire whips, the katanas, the arm launchers, all of it. It's all in there. The list goes on and on. Hacking, net running, brain dances, cyberpsychosis. It's all here in some form or another, and more. The content of this game alone is enough to be a fan's dream. And I'm telling you this as a fan. This is like a dream come true, and I am not kidding. That'd be completely fine, but guess what? It does not stop there. You can tell that they really did work closely with Mike Pondsmith. They put in some serious time with him. I don't have to go read anything to tell you that because it shows. They weren't just using him as a name drop. They didn't just call him a couple times and say, "Hey, what's this, this, and this, and this?" And he's like, "Oh yeah, it's this, 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 and this." This is like they actually sat down with him and spent hours working side by side with him on everything. I mean, it's just phenomenal. If you're familiar with the source material, you see Pondsmith's stuff all over the game, and this is what you want. They have literally taken his vision and actually brought Night City to life. The gameplay itself. When you start out, you choose one of three life paths: Corpo, which is what I chose, Street Kid, or Nomad. Your life path determines your starting point in the game. You know, do you start in a city center? Do you start in one of the suburbs, or do you start out in the outskirts, in the desert, basically? So your life path determines your starting point. You get certain dialogue options, and you have certain advantages and disadvantages in the game. So once you choose a life path, you can't change it. The only way to do a different life path is to start a new game, which, you know, if you're like me, you're definitely going to be starting a new game and checking out the other stuff. But for your life path, for your first time out, choose wisely. You know, do you want to start out as a cog in a corporate machine? Do you want to start out as somebody that knows the ins and outs of the streets of Night City? You know, or are you somebody that's more like a living a nomad life? So, your life path, you know, while it does give you things, it does not affect any of your romance options. You know, but your gender might. So, speaking of gender and everything, let's go ahead and let that lead into character customization. Your character's name is V. Okay, that's your name, V. And you're gonna make V either male or female. And yes, you can customize your genitals. Now, I didn't do this, and you know, I just left it as a default. You know, but before you ask, no, I don't think. Like I said, I haven't tried it though. I don't think that you can weaponize your genitals. You know, I could be wrong, but I haven't given it a try. I will say though that this is cyberpunk. Okay? And the game itself may not be as hardcore as some of the source material, but just remember that anything on your body that is enhanced or cybernetic can be hacked. So keep that in mind. There's going to be places in the game where your vision's going to go blurry or something like that, and it's going to be because you're being hacked or you've been hacked. You're going to lose health or something like that. You know, so just keep that in mind. So your character, back to your character, has attributes. Again, straight out of the source material. Your intelligence, which is basically your hacking ability, your reflexes, your maneuverability, how you handle weapons, cool, how persuasive you can be, and also your stealth rating. Body, your physical attributes, and technical ability, which is what allows you to unlock doors and use tech weapons. Each of the attributes also has perks that you can unlock that are tied to each one. So there are way too many perks to list, and way too many cool ones to list. So one thing I'll say about, you know, when you're building your character, when you're in the character screen, go ahead and have a look around at the perks that are related to the attributes and kind of get a feel of, you know, what you want to put skill points and everything into. I promise you there's a lot in there to like for everybody, no matter how you want to play. So after a start, you know, with your life path, the game story gets underway. You know, you get a couple of contracts, a couple of things happen. I'll just leave it at that and say things happen. After about 5 to 6 hours, you finally get to the title screen of the game. And then from that point on, main story wise, you know, the pacing of the game then basically shifts to you control the pacing of the game from that point on. The story itself, it's done very slick and very smoothly. You know, at no point in the main story, at least for me, did I ever feel like I was just slogging around or grinding, you know, or anything like that. Being an open world RPG, that's an accomplishment in itself. The main story, just by itself, is 20 to 25 hours, I'd say. That depends on how you approach things, your play style, how much of a completionist you are, you know, all that stuff. The game does have a point of no return, which saves the game one last time before you go into the end game. What this also does is unlock the option for, and it's called, One More Gig. What this does is send you back just before the point of no return with everything that you had up to that point to complete any side missions, gigs, romances, you know, whatever. Or if you just want to grab more upgrades, eddies, you know, whatever, before you can go back to the end game again. Now, because of this, this allows you to make different choices. Maybe go back, interact with some other people to unlock other endings. So, some people may not like the fact that the major choices that affect the outcome of the game aren't littered throughout the entire game, like Witcher 3. But you know what? That's okay, because this is Cyberpunk, not Witcher 3. All right, look. I'm going to go ahead and call it here, because I could go on for hours about this game. And if I go on for hours, then I'm going to start getting the spoilers, and I'm really just going to lose it, but in a good way. So let me just wrap this up by saying that despite all the delays, negative press towards CD Projekt Red, all the just bullshit surrounding the game, when you get down to it, there is a lot of great game to be had. Whether you're a longtime fan or don't even know what the hell Cyberpunk is. You know, I've done one full playthrough of the game, and I'm on my second One More Gig. You know, according to the game clock, I've put over 45 hours into it. I understand that that's saying something when it comes to me, because with the limited game time I have, you know, plus the fact that I normally don't revisit RPGs, I mean, you know, the last RPG I put some serious time, and I do mean serious time into, the Mass Effect trilogy. And before that, Knights of the Old Republic. You see where I'm going with this, right? Not only does an open world RPG have to be something for me to play through it in the first place, but for me to continue to go back to something, you know, multiple times, you know, that, yeah, I think you get the idea. You know, I still play Cyberpunk 2077 to this day. I just played it a couple hours ago. And I'm going to play it even more once the next-gen enhancements hit the next-gen consoles. I mean, because really, I mean, any excuse to play an already very strong contender for level playing fields game of the year for 2021, I mean, you know what? I don't need an excuse. Because I enjoy the game. It's awesome. Definitely, definitely, if you're the least bit curious about Cyberpunk 2077, go ahead and check it out. Remember what I said earlier about being honest about your playstyle and what you're looking for in the game. All right, remember that. Go with that. And I think that you're going to enjoy it. Hopefully as much as I did. Because, again, the game is phenomenal. And I'm actually going to play it again when I'm done with this episode. So, all right, folks. So that's it for this episode of Level Playing Field. You know, as I said before, things seem to have calmed down a little bit. So I hope to be back much sooner than 2 months with more stuff to look forward to. Don't forget to check out and keep up with the guys at Divided by Werewolves, Gene Pool Variety Hour, and the Hoogzilla Podcast. So, hey, this is Mike C., a.k.a. J75, with Level Playing Field, signing off. And, hey, don't forget to carve out some of that precious time to game. Until next time, folks, have a great one.